appreciate the good hand of our God stirring in these last days. No greater time to be a Christian than it is right now. As the world's getting darker, the light of God is shining brighter. And as us, to those of you that are aged in the Lord and know this thing's winding down, Paul thought it was going to wind down in his time. And now look at it today, where this our country is heading, where the people of God are heading. We're heading to heaven's shore. I'm glad we have somebody we can pray to this morning. I'm glad we have somebody we can call upon to help in a time of trouble and in a time of need. You see, our God can reach where these other little gods cannot do. Our God can hear where these little other gods cannot do anything. Muhammad is still in the grave. Confucius is still in the grave. But let me tell you what happened on the third day. My Lord Jesus Christ got out of the grave and He's risen. And He's sitting on the right hand of the Father. And He's making intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And I praise Him that He knows who I am this morning. And I know who He is. I think He saved me. I'm glad I got saved. Amen. If you have your Bible this morning, be turning to the book of Acts chapter number 12. This has rose up in my heart. It rose up a couple of weeks ago. And then as we was here the other Wednesday night, it was on me. So if you wasn't here that Wednesday night a couple of weeks ago where we prayed, we had old-timey prayer meeting, you missed it. See, if you don't show up for church, you see, you can't get help. If you don't show up for church, you can't get help. See, God has set this local assembly aside to get His children help, for us to grow in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. He's put us here together, and He's given you a body, a family, a place in Christ to be here every time the doors open up. And I praise Him for that this morning. I want to start reading in Acts chapter number 12 and begin reading in verse number 1. It says this, "Now about that time, Herod the king," with the little k, "stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of the unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him and put him in prison and delivered him to the four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people." Verse 5. "Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." I want to teach this morning on this thought. Persecutions, pains, prisons, but a church that was powerful. Persecutions, pains, prisons, but a church that was powerful. You see, the church went through a lot here. We know if you read the book of Acts in chapter 10 and chapter number 10 and chapter number 11, you'll find the church had turned over a new thing. God had given Cornelius a vision. He'd met up with Peter, and God had opened this thing up to the Gentile nation. Once it was, we know this thing was, Jesus was going to the Jews, His own people, and He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But in the book of Acts, chapter 10 and 11, it turned over and God offered this thing of repentance unto salvation over to the Gentile nation. And that's who we are this morning. That's who I am. I'm a Gentile. I'm an outsider. I'm an outcast. But God opened this thing up to me through turning this thing over to the Gentile nation. Let me tell you what they was doing in the book of Acts, chapter number 11. They was ministering. There was a prophet named Agabus, and there was a great, he prophesied there would be a great dearth, a great drought that was going to come across the land. And let me tell you what they did. They took up money, and it says, as each disciple had their own ability, and they gave to minister. But let me tell you what's happening in Acts chapter number 12. You'll see another little king rose up named Herod to vex, used his hands to vex certain of the church. And any time you're having ministry, don't ever forget this. There's going to be a devil that's going to raise up his head. You see, wherever there's always light shine, there'll always be someone lurking in the darkness. And it's old Lucifer, it's old Satan himself. Let me tell you, even though the church was being persecuted beyond measure at this time, let me tell you what, it didn't stop the church. You see, they was in persecutions. They was in pains. They was even in prison. But let me tell you what, they was at the most powerful state of their life because of it. You see, a lot of times we don't understand why we're walking through things, but a lot of times we're walking through persecutions, we're walking through these pains, and we're walking through life's prisons. You know why? Because God's got something better, and He's making you stronger. He's making you better through those persecutions, through those pains. So you may be here this morning and don't understand why you're going through some things. And I, even in my own life, I've walked through some things, and I did not understand it at that time, but I can look back on them now and see where God had His hand all on it, and I can say that I'm a better Christian because I walked through those things. You see, the church was growing. They began to minister. We know the first time the church was mentioned in the Bible is found in Matthew 16 and verse 18, and we'll get to that in a minute. But I want you to know this. Jesus told them in the book of Luke, chapter number 24, He said, "Tarry ye at Jerusalem until ye be endued from on power from on high." And we know that in Acts chapter number 1, they chose out a new apostle there, Matthias. And then we find out that the church had the first prayer meeting there. They had it there with the disciples. And the book of Acts chapter number 1 said there was 120 people that went up into an upper room and they prayed. Let me tell you, individuals went up, but a church came down. You see, that God put His hand on the church, and He used the local New Testament church to minister to His saints. And that's why you're here today. And God's got you in a Holy Ghost-filled church to minister to the saints of God. That's why it's very important to show up for church every time the doors is open, because that's the only way you're going to grow as a Christian. That's the only way you're going to get through these persecutions. That's the only way you're going to get through these pains. And this is the only way you're going to get through these prisons, is to show up at church and be grown in the Lord Jesus Christ. A church that was in persecutions, a church that was in prisons, a church that was in pains. But let me tell you, they had the most power that the church had ever seen at that time. God had begun to grow them. I want to see, first of all, let's look at the persecution of the church. We see in verse number 1, it said, "Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church." That word vex means to trouble. That means to afflict pain. That means to do things that we wouldn't see fit to be doing to somebody, to a brother or a sister. You see, Herod, the more it pleased the Jews, the more he would stretch forth his hands. Let me tell you this, the devil has many hands this morning. We think of the devil as somebody with some kind of red costume on with pitchfork and got some kind of ears. But let me tell you what, he can slide in. He's subtle, and he slid into the garden with Adam and Eve, and they thought it was just a beautiful thing they ever saw. And let me tell you what he did. He brought corruption, and he brought it upon all men, and it's carried on down through the ages. Let me tell you what, though, the devil cannot tear this church apart. You know who can tell this church apart? You're looking at him. Right here. It starts with me. I can tear this church apart more than anybody, more than the devil himself. No doubt the devil could use me to do that. But let me tell you what, it all starts with us. The persecution of the church, it was very important that you see why they was persecuted. The church was troubled. They were tried. They were tested. And Herod was doing everything he could to test them. He killed James with the sword. And he saw that it pleased the Jews. Let me tell you what. And then he turned to Peter. You say, why was he so interested in Peter? Well, Peter just offered this thing up to the Gentile nation, and it didn't please everybody. You see, those Jews had always done it this way. And they'd always done it that way, but they'd never done it God's way. And God had changed this thing over to the Gentile nation, and the devil himself said, "I got James, now it's time to get Peter." Peter was God's man. Peter was God's anointed apostle, and he used him greatly. He preached there at the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 souls had got saved because of an upper room meeting. Let me tell you this, church, we need some upper room meetings. A lot of times, I've always said this, a lot of times I didn't do good in schools because I always try to do my stuff in homeroom when it was in a hurry. Let me tell you what, there's homework to be done here at the church. It all starts in the home. See, it don't start here on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock or Wednesday night at 7:30. It starts in the home. And the only way you're going to get through persecution, these pains, and these prisons is be doing the stuff at the house. This church was learning that. This church was tried. This church was tested. But this church came out on top. Not only that, I want you to see this. These persecutions were permitted by God. You need to understand that this morning. The things you're walking through is not something that the devil said, "I'm just going to pick him out and I'm going to do." Let me tell you what, anything that touches you has already passed through God's hand. Let me tell you about a servant named Job this morning. Job had all kind of persecutions. He lost his family. He lost all his cattle. He lost all his goods. He lost all his lands. But let me tell you what, God permitted that thing. Everything, think of God. My grandmother, when I was growing up, she had a big bowl, a wooden bowl that she put flour in. And she never did take that flour out of that bowl. She just kept adding to it. Not one time. She'd always keep it up underneath the cabinet. And you'd walk into her house, she'd open up and throw it out and put it up on the counter there. Let me tell you what she'd do. She'd get that sifter out. And she'd put that flour in it. All that flour that had lumps in it that couldn't be used the way it was, she'd take it and she'd sift it. And that's what God is doing in our lives. He's taking the things that we're going through, and He's taking and He's sifting it. And He said He can take that now. He couldn't take it 10 years ago, but He can take it now. And things you couldn't walk through 10 years ago, you can walk through now because of persecutions, because of pains, and because of prisons. They were permitted by God. He killed James, the brother of John, and now Peter. He's after him. You see, the devil doesn't stop. You see, a lot of times we give up, but let me tell you what, he ain't gave up yet. You see, he knows his end. And see, I know my end this morning as well. See, my end ends in victory. You see, when I close my eyes in death, this ain't the end of the story. I'm just getting started. April the 8th, 1998, I got saved, and I just started in this thing. And I've been saved a little over 15 years, almost 16 years now. But let me tell you what, one of these days they may roll me down here in front of this church, but it ain't the end of the story. I'm just getting started this morning. These persecutions were permitted by God. I wrote down five things, and I've used these five things before, but I want to use them here again of why God allows us to go through persecutions. I want to say, first of all, He lets us go through persecutions to deliver us from confidence in ourselves. To deliver us from confidence in ourselves. You'll see when you're walking through persecutions, when you're walking through these pains, you won't be able to do it alone. You will not be able to do it alone. You may think you're a big man this morning. You may think ate all your Wheaties this morning. And you may think, I got everything I got. But let me tell you what, there's going to be some things that you won't be able to walk through this thing in this world alone. And God will make sure that He sets up those things in front of you that let you know that you can't have confidence in yourself. You say, why do you say that? You think of Peter here. He's a man that had preached. He's a man that preached the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls. If anybody could have stood up and said, I can handle this by myself, it would have been Peter. But Peter found himself in prison. He separated himself. He had been separated in prison because of this, and he didn't have nobody there that was on his side. You see, it's easy when we have folks on our side to walk through these things. That's why I say stay in church. That's where your help is. That's where your prayer partners are. That's where everything originates around, is around the local New Testament church. To deliver us from confidence in ourselves. You say, why was he after Peter? Turn in your Bible in Matthew chapter number 16 and verse number 18. Let me show you what it says. It's found in the book of Matthew chapter number 16 and verse number 18. He said this, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The devil was after Peter, wasn't he? He said, the church is not founded upon Peter. The church has always been founded upon Christ. But let me tell you what you know why the devil was after Peter himself? Look in verse number 19. It says this, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. And whatsoever thou bind in earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever shall be loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Jesus had just given Peter the keys to the kingdom. You see, you remember that kingdom? You remember in Matthew chapter number 4 where the devil himself, Jesus, was led out into the wilderness by the Spirit, and he came up out of there and he was tempted three times. And he tried to give, the last time he was tempted, he tried to give him all the kingdoms of the world. We know Jesus owned all those kingdoms, didn't he? He set this thing in motion. He flung it into existence. And now he's given Peter the keys to the kingdom. A man that just got all the keys. Got all the keys. The devil himself will be right after Peter. Peter just has opened this thing up to the Gentile nation, which allows me to be in this thing this morning. And that's why I'm sitting here this morning preaching and teaching this morning, because God himself offered this thing up to the Gentile nation. The keys of the kingdom was given to Peter. So Peter himself, the devil was after him to trip him up, to mess him up. And he knew if he could get a hold of Peter, he thought he could stop the church, the persecution of the church. Peter, a lot of times, we all know Peter, he always would try to deliver himself. We know, first of all, Peter tried to deliver himself with his sword one time. You remember when Judas Iscariot had betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ there in the garden? The first thing they did, old Malchus came up and Peter took a swing with his sword, didn't he? He was going to cut off Malchus's head, but he cut off his ear. And let me tell you what happened. Think about this. If Peter would have cut off Malchus's head, you know what it would have done? It would have caused an uproar in the city. And if that uproar would have taken up, instead of Jesus dying on the cross, probably people would have took him there. They would have killed him with their own hands. Secondly, not only did he try to save himself with a sword, we see he tried to save himself with his speech. You remember one time you find him there? He was warming himself by fire. There in Pilate's judgment hall. And he said, and they came up to him and said, "I seen you with Jesus." And you know what he said? I'm paraphrasing here. He said, "I know not the man." They came to him again and said, "I saw you over there with Jesus. Are you one of them?" He said, "I know not the man." They came to him a third time and he gave the same testimony. And they delivered him up. And Peter said, "I know not the man." And the rooster crowed on him. He learned that he couldn't have confidence in himself. He knew he couldn't hand it with his sword. He knew he couldn't have it with his speech. Peter was a very strong man. He said, "I couldn't even have confidence in myself." Secondly, why does God allow His church to be persecuted? To deliver us from confidence in ourselves. Also to develop us for Christian service. You see, you wouldn't be able to serve Christ as good today if you didn't go through any persecutions. You see, a lot of times we look at our problems, we look at what we're doing for God, and we say, "God, can you really use us? Can you really do this thing?" Let me tell you what He's doing. He's developing you for Christian service. You see, He didn't save us to sit on a pew and fill a place here at Liberty Baptist Church. He saved you to serve Him. And everybody that's in this building is a servant, including myself. I'm the lowest servant probably in this building this morning. But let me tell you what, He's put me through some stuff to try to develop me for Christian service. Not only that, He displays us for Christ's similarities. He's displaying you. He's letting you go through things that people around you can see Christ in you. You may be on your job and you may be the only Christ-like person there. But let me tell you what you are. You're a light to that person beside you. You can say, "I'll pray for you. I'll go to church." And they hear that stuff and they take note of that little stuff. There's been people in my job that say, I'll pray for you. You know what it is? It's a little light to those persons that don't have people that will pray for them. You see, you're the only Bible a lot of people will ever read. It's going to display you for Christ's similarities. Not only that, it's going to demonstrate us for Christ's sufficiencies. Christ's sufficiencies. Turn your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 9. I want you to see this. You remember what I said when we started in this thing? I said, God allowed these persecutions. I want to look at a man named Paul for just a few seconds and see what happened to him. He's going to find out that why does God allow us to be persecuted? Because it's going to demonstrate us for Christ's sufficiencies. We read in verse number 9, it says this. And a lot of times we stop at this. He said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And a lot of times we stop right there. But we need to read the second part of that verse. It says this, "For my strength is made perfect in" what? "Weakness." And did you know God was trying to make you weak? He's been working on me for almost 16 years to tell me to get weak. Because He knows when I get weak, then He'll be made strong. John the Baptist said in John chapter 3 and verse number 30, I believe it is, he said, "I must decrease so that He can increase." And if you learn that in your Christian life, the more you decrease and the more He increases, the more the people around you will see Christ in you. You see, a lot of times people don't see Christ in us because we're not willing to decrease. We're not willing to put Christ out in front of us. We're not willing to play the second man in this thing. But let me tell you what, I'd rather have Jesus out in front of me and He be the first man and He's the only man and give Him all the preeminence than anything I know. I'd rather be a Christian this morning than anything I know. I'd rather be saved than anything I know. To demonstrate Christ's sufficiency. Not only did He say His grace was sufficient, He said, "But when you're weak, then I'm made strong." Look what He said in verse 10. He said, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities." This is Paul himself. We know here that if you'll read up in verse 7, it said, Paul, you remember he had the thorn in the flesh, didn't he? You know what it was? I don't know exactly what it was. I know what people have read about, but I'm going to tell you what the Bible said it was. He said it was a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him. That word buffet means to hit. And to make black and blue as to bruise. To buffet him. You know that God sometimes will use the devil to come against you so that he can show his sufficiencies? He was doing it in Paul's life. Paul would not be the preacher that he was if he didn't have been, had he not been persecuted, had he not been in pain, and he had not been in prison. Paul probably, no doubt, wouldn't have been able to write the half of the New Testament if he had not walked through those things. And through doing that, he's displaying Christ's sufficiencies in our life this morning. And I can stand here this morning and say, whatever you're going through, you can go through because Paul went through those things. And if he was sufficient enough for Paul, he'll be sufficient enough for you, and he'll be sufficient enough for me. Not only that, it drives us to Christ's side. You see, when you figure out you can't do this thing alone, you better get up next to one who can. The persecution of the church. The church never went through anything like that this morning. I want to say very hurriedly, we don't have a lot of time. You'll see the persecution of the church. But secondly, you'll see the prayers of the congregation. Turn back in our text in Acts chapter number 12 and verse number 5. I want you to see what it says. We find Peter now, he's been put into prison. It was almost Peter there. We all know he had the peace of God. We all heard this story before. Y'all have all been in Sunday school for some time. Let me tell you what. Don't underestimate the prayers of the congregation this morning. Amen. What we had here a couple Wednesday nights ago is something that you don't see in a lot of churches. When you have the church in one mind and one accord, and we're all praying for the same thing, and God's putting things in our heart, and we're praying for our brethren around us, let me tell you what it does. God manifests Himself in that. He's pleased with that. He said this in Acts chapter 12, verse number 5. Peter was in prison. It says this, but but prayer was made without ceasing of the church of unto God for him. Let me tell you what, that church got down to pray. Let me tell you this. I thought this in my mind yesterday. Herod was rising up. Herod was pleasing the Jews. Herod became popular because he had killed James. And now he's after Peter. But let me tell you what, while Herod was rising up, let me tell you what the church was doing. They was falling down to their knees. And let me tell you, they was higher than Herod. Even when they was down below, a lot lower than what he was, they was actually rising up. And let me tell you what, this morning, church, I thought about all the deaths we've had in our church here of late. I thought about Paisley this week as we began to pray for her, you know, with her the issues that she's having. Let me tell you what, church, don't underestimate the prayers. Don't let anybody stand up here and say prayer doesn't change things, because let me tell you what, all throughout my Bible it says that it does change things and it does work. And we all know it says this in the book of James, chapter 5:16. The latter part of that verse says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We know this church prayed without ceasing. You know what that word avail means in that? It means to overcome. There's some things you're not going to overcome unless you pray. And there's some things, and it's all good to be individually praying, but let me tell you, this church had came together and they had one thought in their mind, and they had a man of God in prison, and let me tell you what they was going to do. They were going to stay on their knees until something happened. Let me tell you what, in my life, God will bring something in my life, and you know what I have to do? I have to stay on my knees until God brings me through it. There's some of you in here this morning that are walking through things that you'll not get through unless you pray and you stand down on your knees until it's over with. That's what this church finds themselves doing. That word without season that's found in this text is there was only one other place that I was reading after a bunch of commentators that said they could only describe what this church was going through. And you know where it was? It was very interesting. It said it was found in Jesus when he was praying in the garden. He was in great agony and he was in great travail. Let me tell you what, there was a man that preached here one Sunday night when the first night of revival, and he said the church didn't travail anymore. You know how the church travails? They're going to travail in prayer. You want to see people born again at the house of God? You know where you're going to do it? You're going to find it in prayer. God is very attentive unto our prayers this morning. I want to say, first of all, the prayers of the congregation, they had the right approach. And I want to say this morning. This has helped me more than anything in my prayer life all through the years. This one thing. And I didn't learn it until probably 2 years ago. I was in Bible college. Brother Jamie Rollins was teaching out of a book. And this is what he said. He said, you had to have the right approach. And that's helped me more than anything in my life. And I want to share it with you this morning. Maybe it'll help some of you. Let me tell you what he said. Have the right approach. You think of an airplane flying around the airport. You know, as they come in, they just don't say, well, I think I'll just land right there. You know what he does? He circles that runway until that guy in that tower says it's all right to come land. And he says, come on in now. I've radioed to the tower and you can come in. He had the right approach. He said this with the right approach. He said, when you get down to pray, take your hands like you're bowing down at the feet of Jesus, like you could reach out and touch Him. And that right there has helped me more than anything in my prayer life that has ever been taught to me, is to know that when I've knelt down to pray, that if I could reach out and act like He was already there and I was already down, ready to bow down and touch Him, it helped me more than anything that I ever known. And it gave me more faith to know that when I did get down on my knees to pray, that I could actually reach out and touch Him, and not only touch His feet, but to touch His heart. Not only is He our approach, but He's attentive. Let me tell you what, God knows what we pray. He knows what we need. He just wants us to ask for Him. The book of Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 7 says this, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Let me tell you what, and I'm closing now. Let me tell you what, the church had a bunch of prayers going up. They had touched the heart of God. I was reading after one man. This is what he said. Human intercession brought heaven's intervention. And you better not ever forget that. We can do things. Prayer does change things. They see the church, they got down on their knees and they become very powerful on their knees. Let me tell you what this church needs. We need some people to get down and pray, and they'll pray through until God does something. They stayed down. You see, I heard a man one time say prayer really doesn't change things, and he messed up the sovereignty of God by saying that, and I had shut him down. I about wanted to do like this after he said that, because let me tell you what, don't ever let anybody tell you that. Your prayers are important, and you can help a brother, you can help a sister, you can help the church out, you can help the pastor out, you can help the Sunday school teacher out, you can help all these little kids that are standing out in that foyer by staying down on your knees and praying. You know how they're going to see God? They're going to see it by the prayers of the church. And you know how they're going to do it 10 years from now? It's because prayers you're praying today is going to get them through tomorrow. The prayers of the congregation. And I'll skip down to the last thing. I want you to see this. The progression of the church. Look what happened. Look down at verse number 24. We know Peter got released from prison because the church stayed down on her knees. We know Herod got up and he killed all the prisoners they'd let Peter out. Let me tell you what. He got up and gave a speech, and he gave not the glory to God. And let me tell you what happened. The worms came and ate his body up. God will share His love with you. He'll share His peace with you. He'll share all kinds of things with you. But there's one thing He will not share with you. He'll never share His glory with you. He deserves all our praise and all our glory. Let me tell you what. He may have killed James. He was after Peter. The Herod before him had already killed John the Baptist. Let me tell you what. But it did not stop the church. You got to know this morning. No matter how much the outside comes against this church ain't going down unless we let it. It's not going down. Let me tell you this. The progression of the church looks found in verse number 24 in our text. It says this. But the Word of God did what? It grew and it multiplied. There wasn't no addition going on in there. They wasn't doing 1 + 1 no more. They was doing 20 times 20 and stuff like that. They was multiplying that thing out because they stayed with it. You know what they did? They continued. You know what they did? They stayed with the stuff that worked. They continued in it. Let me tell you this. Pains, persecutions, prisons, and all these things. You know what it did? It brought a powerful church. We want to be a powerful church this morning. And let me tell you what, all those stuff you're going through, you know what it's doing? It's molding you into Christ, and it's making you more valuable to the family of God. Thank you for your attention this morning.